In my introductory episode, I mentioned that biblical miracles come in all sorts. Today, I've chosen to speak about a miracle of multiplication. It must be said that all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, relate this formidable miracle, but with a few slight differences. For example, Matthew, Luke, and John mention 5 loaves and 2 fishes, while Mark refers to 7 loaves and a few fishes. Moreover, while in the other Gospels, 12 baskets and fragments were collected after the miraculous supper, only 7 baskets were gathered in Mark. It's quite possible that there were several such occasions on which Jesus accomplished this kind of miracle. Remember that John says at the end of his Gospel that Jesus accomplished many more miracles than what is recorded in his Gospel. But the world wouldn't contain enough books if all those miracles were to be recorded. Anyway, my intention is not to make a comparative study of the miracle of multiplication based on the 4 Gospel narratives, but essentially to underscore the supernatural multiplying of the 2 elements, bread and fish. I'd like to take the narration in John chapter 6 as my foundational text, then make a few references to certain details mentioned in the other Gospels. Let's read John chapter 6, verses 1 to 14 from the King James Version. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they were. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Now let's read the Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 14, verses 13 through 18. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." Next, we are going to read the narrative in Mark's Gospel in chapter 8, verses 1 to 9. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, "I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far." And his disciples answered him, "From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" And he asked them, "How many loaves have ye?" And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and broke and gave his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes. And he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. And lastly, we are going to read what Luke has to say in chapter 9, verses 11 to 14. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, "Send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place." But he said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they said, "We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all the people." For there were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down by 50s in a company." The first thing we see here is that Jesus was followed by a multitude because they had seen the healing miracles he had performed. We ought to understand by that the people were convinced that Jesus wasn't merely who they had been thinking he was, the son of Joseph, the son of Mary, the carpenter's son, or simply the carpenter. So the miracles they saw him perform were sure evidence of his supernatural nature. Also, the multitude followed him, for they were hungry and thirsty for more miracles and for more authoritative teachings. So long, they had been exposed only to the dull and powerless teaching of their scribes and doctors of the law. But now they were experiencing something grander, much more powerful, and a ministry that satisfied their felt needs. Hence, their presence in such great numbers. The next thing I'd like to underscore is the fact that Jesus took his disciples up a mountain. When we study the Bible, we constantly see how mountaintop experiences are awesome. We remember Moses' encounter with the Almighty on Mount Sinai. We also remember Jesus with 3 of his apostles, Peter, James, and John, on Transfiguration Mount, and so on. The very fact that Jesus went up the mountain is enough to signal to us the imminent occurrence of something formidable. What's moving and touching here is that all the while the multitude kept following Jesus, paying no attention neither to time nor to place. They'd been following him for 3 days, on foot and without food of any kind. So spiritually hungry were they. Seeing the great multitude following him, Jesus was filled with compassion for them. Remember, he referred to himself as the Good Shepherd. And as such, how could he leave the sheep uncared for and unfed? That was absolutely not in his nature. So he asked Philip where they could buy bread to feed the multitude. But John says explicitly that Jesus was in fact testing Philip to see what solution he'd propose to meet the requirements of the moment. In reality, he, Jesus, knew exactly how to tackle the situation. It sounds very much like Jesus was teasing the helpless Philip while keeping his MasterCard, so to say, up his sleeve. Poor Philip replied, saying that even 200 penny worth of bread would not suffice to feed such a huge multitude. 200 penny worth of bread? That must have represented quite a sum of money by the standard of that time, and also a tremendous amount of bread. Further on in this gospel narrative, we are told that there were about 5,000 men present in the crowd. And that number would exclude women and children who did not have the same status as men in the patriarchal regime of the day. The Matthean narrative explicitly tells us that women and children were not reckoned in those 5,000. If we only consider each man was accompanied by his wife and a child, and that's the bare minimum, feeding such a huge crowd would be as lofty a task as the mountain atop which the scene was taking place. One may wonder whether even a modern-day bakery with all the modern technology would have been able to provide enough bread for such a multitude within such short notice. Having gone round in the crowd in a desperate attempt to find how best to come to Jesus' rescue in his desire to feed the multitude, Andrew, Peter's brother, caught sight of a young boy having in his possession 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. Or maybe the lad himself candidly came forward to offer his miserable provision of barley bread and fishes. Did Jesus not say in the Gospels that the kingdom of God belonged to such as these? Anyway, this lad intrigues us. What explains his presence in that multitude of people? Was he accompanied by his parents, or was he on his own in the crowd? How come he had ventured up the mountain, staying up as late as supper time? Where was he going with the 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes? Was that his family's supper? Had he been sent by his parents to buy those provisions? Were they expecting him back with their supper? Or was he on an errand to take the food to some old bedridden relative? The gospel narrative doesn't provide answers to these questions. But whatever reason explains the lad's presence there and then, he's become world famous by just being present there and then with his lunch basket. How I wish John had mentioned his name so we could have known him a bit more intimately. But in spite of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, still, as Andrew pointed out, how could those feed such a multitude? For Philip, Andrew, and all the others, it was, as in every instance, a miracle is performed, mission impossible. By the way, aren't miracles made for that? To solve humanly impossible deadlocks? Now the great miracle worker Jesus gets things moving. He orders that the people be asked to sit down on the grass. Every single individual in that multitude, including the disciples, must be wondering what on earth is going to happen. But Jesus simply takes the 5 loaves, gives thanks to the Father, then asks the disciples to distribute the bread and fishes among the multitude, making sure they eat as much as they will. Earlier, Philip had said that even 200 penny worth of bread wouldn't be enough, even if each individual would eat only a little. And now Jesus is asking that everyone eat as much as they will. Once everybody has eaten their fill, Jesus asks that the leftovers be gathered so as not to waste anything. And miraculously, they filled 12 baskets with the leftovers. A miracle within another miracle. No human mind can explain such a feat. How on earth can one feed 5,000 men to satiety, plus women and children, on just 5 loaves and 2 fishes? By the way, we may ask, were the fishes raw or cooked? If they were raw, the miracle would be even more flabbergasting. But we may safely assume they were already cooked, because 5 barley loaves and 2 uncooked smelly fishes in a lunch basket would sound a bit fishy, wouldn't it? Though turning raw fishes into perfectly fried fishes would have posed no problem to the one who created everything out of nothing. Going back to the young boy who provided the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fishes for the miracle to happen, we see how his sacrifice turned into one of the greatest miracles in the gospel narratives. Also, we see how, by giving away 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he went back home with 12 baskets full of fragments of bread and fish. Likewise, when we sow into God's service and ministry, he makes sure we reap it 100-fold. As Jesus himself puts it in the Gospels, and I quote, "Give and it shall be given unto you." Unquote. It's also worth mentioning that just like Jesus asked that the leftovers be gathered to avoid wasting the food, we should never take a miracle God has wrought on our behalf lightly and flimsily. God's miracles are most precious, and we cannot afford to make a waste of them. Just like his grace and mercy are to be taken and accepted and preserved with the greatest possible care, for they are eternal treasures. This miracle of the multiplication of bread and fishes was and is instrumental in proving the supernatural origin and nature of Jesus, and is yet another piece of evidence to be added to the thick file aimed at establishing his definitely divine nature. May his name be blessed, and to God be the glory.